Hello.
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati. Alephet Gimel Yitak Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tacharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sitkatcha Tamid Gamrem Petet Reish Tzadi Taf Gimel. The letters of the month of Av. The Kaf that created the planet Shemesh, also known as the planet Chama. This is the sun. And the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion. The astrological sign of Leo. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zopre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yud taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy. Utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze Chesed L'alafim, Mechayon Wafesha, V'chata'a v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the year 5777, known as the year of the goat, by studying two verses that have the same energy from the Tanakh. The first verse that we study is Lamentations chapter 3 verse 52, and we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabrichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimud chilud chilu urchimu Liyakta Lishem Yud Hey Bavav Hey Yehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konanehu Tzod Saduni Katzipor Oyevayehinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to create Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that has this energy of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed. The letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadibaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The next year, the year 5776, known as the year of the pause, there are also two verses that have this particular energy, and we will study both of them. The first one is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit. Et kol ha'olot vayehaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yola Yoalame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rekacha. The second verse that has this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775, that has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The first verse we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. Then there is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Mikol Hamachavoyam, Asher Yitchabe Sham Wishavtem, Eli El Nachom, Wehalakti Yitchem, Wehayim Yeshno, Baretz Vihipasti. O Tov B'kol Alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. The verse, or the year 5774, that has the energy of peace in the Middle East, There's only one verse that has this energy in the Tanakh. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Pusamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shatan takta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to study a pasuk from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's Parasha Yitro, pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tanenan Tukudsha Barichu Komadi Aved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada. Ikshot Kaleid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Parnash Ladachya Leya Mineya Ulan Hagabeya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzterich Bialma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. Please scan all of the chart, starting at the top, the right-hand column, go right to left, and then top to bottom. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, we will say out loud using the root vowels of the letters themselves. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta hey ha hey hey yo anu da. La he wa he mea yo tsa la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa he nu la nu me ka yo he yo me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shia yo re ta sha shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he da. Hey she hey me kau ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa la a re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo. Da he be me kako, a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me. Hey la yo me hey me. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, the third day of Av, Rabbi Shimshon ben Rabbi Pesach Ostropolier, Rabbi Gedalia Aaron Rabinovitz of Manastrich, Rabbi David Shapira, Rabbi Chaim Yecheskel Taub of Ozerov, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Rabbi Mordechai Tversky of Skver Kishinev, Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel Alevi Horowitz, Rabbi Moshe Sitrin. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper. This class is a continuation of our studies of the Third Temple. You can find the handout on the Third Temple landing page, which is in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it is in row 10, the third column from the left, which is the second column from the right. When you open that up, scroll down on the landing page to class 3A. And this opens up to the section titled Miluim. This is where we will begin our class tonight. Besides these names, many others are embedded in the biblical text, in hidden ciphers, or alluded to in other ways. A highly significant category of names in Mishkanei Elyon and Kabbalah generally is that of the Miluim, literally the fillings. Each of the letters of the alphabet not only has its simple form, the individual letter, as it appears when written in a word, each letter also has its name, made up of itself and one or two other specific letters, with which it combines to form the unique power configuration that is the essence of the letter in question. For example, the letter Yud is represented in the Torah scroll as a simple dot. Yet the full name of the letter is spelled out with the letters Yud, Vav, Dalet. The filling letters, in this case the Vav and the Dalet, are integral parts of the formula that gives the letter its power. When the full name of each letter, of each of the constituent letters of a divine name, is written out, this is called a milui, a filling, or an expansion of that name. For example, the simple letters of the divine name El, Aleph Lamed, are Aleph equals 1 gematria and Lamed equals 30 gematria, having the combined numerical value of 31. Spelling out in full the names of the letters Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, and Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalet, gives us the Milui of El, which is Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed Mem Dalet, the gematria of which is Aleph equals 1, Lamed equals 30, Pei equals 80, which is totaling 111, and Lamed equals 30, Mem equals 40, and Dalet equals 4, which is 74. And the two together total 185. The manifestation of the letters that were previously hidden gives the Milui expanded power, as reflected in its total numerical value. This power was present in potential in the simple letters of the name, since the hidden letters making up the full names of the simple letters are integral parts of those letters. When the simple letters are filled with their constituent letters in the Milui, this potential power is actually manifested. Because of the great power of He and Vav, two of the letters of the essential name, Havayah, they are capable of being filled with different letters. Thus, the He can be spelled in full either as He, Yud, or as He, Aleph, or as He and He. While the Vav can be spelled either as Vav, Yud, Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav, or Vav, Vav. This means that names containing the letters He and Vav, such as the essential name of Echieh, can be expanded in various ways. Each of the different expansions is bound up with a particular sephirah, or a partsuf, or an aspect thereof. The four main expansions of the essential name of Havaya are the expansion of 72, which is Ayin Bet, so-called because this is the numerical value of the sum of all the letters contained in this expansion. Here, the Hays and the Vavs are filled with Yuds. Yud Vav Dalid, He Yud, Vav Yud Vav, He Yud. This expansion is associated with the partsuf of Abba, Father. The expansion of 63, Samach Gimel, or Sad, where the Hays are filled with Yuds, but the Vav is filled with an Aleph. Yud Vav Dalid, He Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, He Yud, associated with Ima, Mother. The expansion of 45, Mem He, where the Hays and the Vav are all filled with Alephs. Yud Vav Dalid, He Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, He Aleph. And this is associated with Zeranpin, the small face. And then the expansion of 52, which is Ben, meaning son, where the Hays are filled with He, and the Vav is spelled simply Vav Vav. And so the expansion is Yud Vav Dalid, He He, Vav Vav, He He. This expansion is associated with the Nukva, the female aspect. There are other forms, other combinations, but these are the four main ones. The union. The ultimate goal of creation is the complete revelation of God on every level. In this rectified state, the giver and receiver are perfectly aligned. The movement of creation towards this rectified state is characterized by various kinds of joining and pairing of the various partsufim, some of which are more involved in giving, while others are more associated with receiving. The supreme example of creative interaction, sharing and receiving, is when man and wife align and join together in holy union, in Yichud, in Zivug, to parent a child who will unite in one being essential, in one being with essential qualities of both. They accomplish this through Chibur, joining together, and Zivug, cooperative interaction. My commentary. This is the first time I have looked at these two words in Hebrew. The gematria relationship is very revealing and informative. Chibur is a gematria of 216, which is the Hebrew word aryeh, or lion, which represents the children of Israel. It is also the number of letters in the 72 names. Zivug has a gematria of 18, which is well known to be the number of life. Yehud has a gematria of 28, which is the same gematria as Koach, which means strength or power. Returning to the translation. In a person's inner spiritual life, the giver or sharer is Hashem, and the person or soul, the receiver, is the wife, while the children are the person's spiritual achievements and good deeds. Yehud, the holy union, comes about when the receiver joins him or herself to Hashem. One makes oneself the vessel for godly light by binding all one's limbs and faculties to his service and filling one's mind and soul with the words of prayer coming from one's mouth into one's ears. When a person makes him or herself a vessel for godly light on the level of thought, on another level of word, and in a third level of action, the Shekhinah, the indwelling presence, is aligned to receive from the Melech, from the King. With this unification, with this Yehud comes about, or when this Yehud comes about, the receiving partsuf of the Nukva, the female, is aligned to receive from Zeranpin, the male. On the level of the names of the two partsufim involved, this union is expressed through the joining of the two divine names, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Aleph-Dalet-Nun-Yud, to form new power combinations. One of the better known examples of how these two names may be joined together is through Shiluv, interweaving of the letters of the two names, as in Yud-Heh-Nun-Vav-Dalet-Heh-Aleph-Yud. Or in the other order, it's Yud-Aleph-Heh-Dalet-Vav-Nun-Heh-Yud, as printed in certain prayer books. Those who know the meaning of these Shiluvim may visualize and contemplate them at appropriate points in their prayers, thereby unifying the sharing, the Holy One, blessed be He, and the receiver, the Shekhinah. My commentary. The Shiluv method is much more than unifying the sharing essence, the Holy One, blessed be He, and the receiver, the Shekhinah. A name of anything, whether it is God or a human being or a thing, has its essence in the Hebrew language. Actually, a name in any language, when transliterated into Hebrew letters and then interweaved or shiluved, creates a unification or a yehud on the spiritual level. What this means is that the energy of one word is moved into the essence of the other word, and vice versa, depending on the word that starts the interweaving. Let me give you an example. The word shalom means peace. When one interweaves my name, Hanoch, with shalom, one is injecting peace directly into my soul. This is because my name is a metaphor for my soul. And here is the letter sequence that creates this unity. Chet Shin Nun Lamed Vav Vav Kaf Sofit Mem Sofit. That's the end of the section. And I think this section I've spoken about Shiluv many times, but are there any questions on this subject? The next section is titled Number and Space. It is the Yehud, or the union of different partsufim, through the joining and connection of their associated names, that makes the heavenly temple. This will be more understandable if we grasp a very simple point that is the key to the mathematics of Mishkanei Elyon. These involve little more than simple addition and multiplication. The mathematical system of Mishkanei Elyon is what in Hebrew is known as gematria, the study of numbers, or some people call it Torah numerology. The term gematria is derived from the ancient Greek word for what we call geometry. It is common knowledge that gematria is the study of the numerical values of the letters and the words of the Hebrew Torah. What is not generally realized is that gematria, like geometry, is also the mathematics of space. This is alluded to in the Sefer Yetzirah, which says that two stones build two houses, three stones build six houses, four stones build 24 houses, five stones builds 120 houses. The stones are the letters of the alphabet, the building blocks of creation. The concept of stones or blocks is intrinsically three-dimensional. Geometry, the mathematics of space, was initially a practical science employed by ancient architects as they sought to build more ambitious projects. The Ramchal in Mishkanei Elyon brings Kabbalistic gematria to the level of sacred architectural geometry, as he explains how interactions between the divine names of the Partsufim, all of which are also numbers, create the space of the Holy Temple. Consider an example of how numbers create space. A room that is 40 feet in length and 20 feet wide and 20 feet high is created by walls of appropriate length and height. In the language of the Mishkanei Elyon, the floor space of such a room is created through the joining, the chibur of 40 and 20. Chibur is the Hebrew word for the mathematical relationship expressed by the multiplication sign. We would say that the room is 40 by 20 and 20 high, or 40 by 20 by 20. The mathematics of Mishkanei Elyon is no more complicated than that. As the Ramchal proceeds with his tour of the various areas of the temple, he shows how each individual hall, chamber, wall, gate, and courtyard appears as a result of the joining together of some or all of the letters of various divine names. These names correspond to the Sefirot and the Partsufim, which are the midot, the qualities, or the measures. Chibur, joining, and multiplication of the measures brings into being three-dimensional spaces, whereas the axes of length, breadth, and height are the three lines or columns of chesed, which is kindness or love, din, which is judgment, and what we call today givurah, and rachamim, mercy, which would be tiferet, which is both merciful and balanced. The temple that Ramchal explains to us in Mishkanei Elyon is that seen by Ezekiel in his prophetic vision. The angel appeared to the prophet with his measuring rod and his linen cord, taking him on what today would be called a virtual three-dimensional tour of the entire temple, showing him every detail and giving him exact measurements. These measurements are the midot, the sefirot, and the partsufim, and their interactions and their joining create space. The temple that Ezekiel saw exists in metaspace, or in the language of religion in Kabbalah, space as it is above in heaven. Yet the Sephirot and Partsufim hold sway on all levels of creation, spiritual and physical. Numerical relationships between the various names are capable of being expressed in the form of the finite, physical, three-dimensional halls, chambers, gates, and courtyards of the temple in this world. The heavenly temple is thus a hologram that exists on a level beyond space as we know it, in heaven. And as such, it is the very blueprint of creation. Yet the same hologram is destined to actually manifest in physical space in the form of the third temple on earth. This will be the tangible embodiment of the holographic pattern. The key principle governing all the relationships expressed in the holographic temple is balance between the two sides. The right side of Chesed, which is kindness and expansiveness, and the left side of Din, or Gevurah, judgment and contraction. Chesed and Din, which are right and left, are the giver and the receiver, the male and female, of the Kabbalah equation. Balancing these two sides is the center column of Rachamim, mercy and compassion. For the goal of creation is that God, the master of compassion, should be perfectly revealed on all levels so as to give all creatures their own unique share of pure goodness. This giving requires a state of perfect balance between the giver and the receiver on all levels. This balance is expressed in the form of the halls and courtyards of the temple, which is located in the place where all the roots of creation join together. The temple and its services are ordered in such a way that the giver and the receiver join face to face. This way, all the branches, the souls, the angels, and the other orders and levels of created beings reconnect with their roots and receive their respective shares of sustaining Shefa from the Creator. This section is truly overwhelming, is my commentary. I will discuss it in more detail when the Ramchal describes these aspects in his description with details of Ezekiel's vision of the temple. Order is the next section. The key to this rectified state of creation is Seder, is order. The temple buildings and courtyards are ordered in space to provide a properly balanced environment for the interaction between the giver and the receiver. Within this space, the various daily, weekly, monthly, and festival services constitute an order in time through which this interaction is continually maintained. Here's an unwritten commentary that is very important. Most of the religious world who studies Kabbalah, they translate giver and receiver from the Hebrew. But we need to understand that when one gives, there is no consciousness of who or what is receiving. In English, we have two words, give and share. The better translation is sharing. Why? Because Hashem is conscious and aware of the limitations and the capacity of the receiver, the vessels. Hashem does not give. That would imply no consciousness of the vessel. Hashem shares because he's very much aware of what the vessel needs, as well as what the vessel wants, as well as what the vessel is capable of receiving. So whenever you hear me read giver, please translate as sharing or sharer. We just don't normally use that word in English, sharer. But that's what we are really telling. And the mistake that is made by the religious community that translates it as giver is they are leaving out this consciousness of what does the receiver need, what does the receiver want, and what is the capacity of the receiver, all of which is built into the word sharer. Continuing to read. The Ramchal explains the inner meaning of the temple services and their role in bringing Shefa to the souls on their level and to the angels on theirs. All the different ranks and orders have their own designated areas and levels on the Temple Mount and are able to ascend to higher levels at specific times in order to receive their portion of Shefa from the table of the king. The angels ascend through the sacrificial offerings on the outer altar, while the souls ascend through the incense offering on the inner altar. The Ramchal concludes his explanation of the temple buildings and services with a discussion of the various levels of the Temple Mount and the steps that connect them. This links in with the discussion of Shefa, for it is on these steps that the various orders of creation go up to actually receive their share. As the angels in the heavenly temple ascend to receive their Shefa, they chant, "Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot. And blessed be the glory of God from his place." These verses are recited daily at high points in the Jewish prayer services. The Ramchal's explanation of the ascent of the angels provides important keys to deeper understanding of the prayer services and how they channel Shefa to all the worlds. For the set daily prayers correspond to the temple services, and the order or the Seder that governs them is embedded in the order of prayers of the Siddur, the traditional Jewish prayer book. My commentary. This section is truly important. This is especially true since many people do not pray in a timely schedule or in an orderly schedule. There are many people who do not understand what they are doing in the spiritual frame and in the flow of Shefa. This is extremely important. Once the tools of Kabbalah begin to be spread more widely, and the depths of this information is taught to many people, there will be more and more people increasing this flow of Shefa and the process of creating unity and order, Seder, in the universe will speed up. The next section, studying the Mishkene Elyon. Students of the Mishkene Elyon are awed by the depth and holiness of the secrets it discusses, and are rightly so. The temple is the gate of heaven, a place which inspires utmost awe. It is a Torah mitzvah to respect and revere the temple. Access to the innermost areas is strictly limited, and people may only ascend the Temple Mount in a state of purity and holiness. Does it follow that knowledge of the inner meaning of the third temple should be out of bounds for most people? The study of certain areas of Kabbalah requires due preparation, as uninitiated students can seriously harm themselves and also others if they gain a distorted view and misuse their knowledge. However, the Ari and other towering sages of the later generations sanctioned and encouraged the wider dissemination of works that explain the Kabbalistic foundations of Jewish faith and belief. These have the power to deepen people's faith and invest their religious practice with greater meaning. Kabbalah secrets are gleanings of divine wisdom that ultimately lies beyond the grasp of human intelligence. The true goal of knowledge is the realization of one's ignorance. Yet Kabbalah is an essential part of the Torah brought down by Moses from heaven to earth, so that people might study and fulfill it. Kabbalah is the inner soul of the Torah, since it deals with our relationship with Hashem. Kabbalah works dealing with the underlying concepts of faith may be safely studied as long as the student is sincere, serious, and willing to make some effort. Even a partial reading of Mishkene Elyon with little or no understanding can greatly strengthen one's faith in the temple and its importance. In the words of Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, who was the first to publish Mishkene Elyon in Hebrew, every person who has no previous knowledge of Kabbalah comes away from this work with a feeling of enhancement and can gain a great deal of important basic information, as well as an understanding of how every detail of the temple buildings and the service is rooted in the most exalted heights. Seeing the splendor and the glory of the house cannot but inspire us to hope, to wait, and to pray with greater strength that the house will be built quickly in our days. My commentary. Rabbi Ashlag directly contradicts Rabbi Greenbaum when he says that it takes effort to learn Kabbalah. This is what we discussed in our class 5 or 6 of the 10 Luminous Emanation Introduction. Actually, they are both correct, since they are speaking of different levels of consciousness and knowledge. The truth is, for people in our generation, the study of the Third Temple is imperative to cause a growth of certainty and a desire to bring the third temple. There are 3 effects that will happen in the levels of consciousness and that then will be mirrored in the physical world. First comes the ingathering of the exiles and the return to the land. Some people say this started in 1948 with the establishment of the modern state of Israel. Others say this must come in a miraculous way and be a Torah government. In any event, we will see eventually if, when looking back, this was an effect or not. Meaning that was the aliyot that a people are making to move to the land of Israel when the government is not a Torah government. We will see if this is part of the process or not. Most of the Kabbalists who live outside of the land of Israel teach that it is not necessary to make physical aliyah. What is necessary to elevate your consciousness to be in the land, the physical land or the spiritual land of Israel, through your meditations and through your consciousness. The second step comes in two steps. Either there will be a resurrection of the dead that will take place, or the building of the third temple will come down from the from heaven. In any event, one of these actions will take place, and then the other. Each of these actions are to be separated by 40 years each. Finally, the Mashiach will manifest and unify the nations after teaching the children of Israel and providing the human physical building of the third temple. Some people teach that there are two Mashiachs, some three Mashiachs. One that will fight the war, and the other will build the outer structure to the temple that will come down, or did come down, from heaven. There is a teaching that the study of the third temple will build sufficient merit to save the Mashiach ben Yosef, who is fighting that war, from having to die, and thus then be resurrected in the process. The third Mashiach is represented by Aaron the Kohen. It's represented by the three levels of the Jewish people, the Kohenim, the Leviim, and the Israelim. The three levels are represented by the service in the temple, the political king of the world of the Jews, and the third level being the courts or the Sanhedrin. That's the end of our class for this evening. Does anyone have any questions?
No, I have a question. How many entryways? How many entryways is there in the temple? My mind tells me 50.
In the second temple and in the first temple, there were four. There were the very four that have different names, but I'm going to describe them from their directions. there was a north gate, a south gate, and an east gate. Actually, was three gates. There was a west gate as well, but in the current Temple Mount, there is no exit from the west gate because the west gate literally had the Holy of Holies connected to it. As my memory serves on the third temple, that is still true.
I was talking external and internal. The entryways to the different rooms in the temple, the different chambers.
Oh, I don't remember, but as we go through the classes, I'll let you keep count and you can arrive at it, and 50 does make some sense. There are a number of outlying buildings that have specific purposes, and each of them have doorways, have entrance
right.
ways. But I have never counted them when I was reading it in earlier years. And I don't remember a specific statement as to how many there were. I don't remember a specific statement as to how many there are. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Martha. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I just want to make a statement. In the first section, before you started the second section, you said, do you have any questions in the first section? And I was trying to unmute
right.
and get back to the call. And my question, which was so coincidence, or maybe it was just put into my mind, I was thinking, how did we come up with the numbering system for the alphabet, the Hebrew letters? And right after that thought, you were explaining how they came to be. Isn't that just something that's just, I'm like, wow. I asked the question to myself, and then you started the second section explaining how they came to be.
There is a concept that I've never given a class on because to me it just is. There's no need to explain it. When you experience it, you understand what it is. It's called I'm going to be butchering this word, synocracy. Everything happens at the same time. Everything that happens in a given week, all of it is relating to the energy of that week, which comes or is explained in the Torah portion for that week. And when you start to recognize that synocrity, how all things that happen in a given week relate to you, and you relate to the Torah, and the Torah relates to the things happening in the world, and all of it is there. It's awe-inspiring. And every student of Kabbalah goes through this process because we're as children of the Western world, we've been taught that there's no such thing as synchronicity. There's coincidence. And we never make connections between two events as being simultaneous, as being connected. If we look at the word coincidence, co meaning connected, and incident, things that happen, we come to understand that the word is really, coincidence is a corruption from the negative system. Coincident means that they are connected. But the negative systems tells us, don't see the connection. See them as separate. And this is the energy of the Western world that we have been educated within and by. But as you grow in Torah and you grow in the Kabbalah, all of a sudden, coincidence starts to be observed by you. And as you observe coincidence, they're not separate. They're very unified. And this is the beauty of the tools of Kabbalah, is to be able to see this synocrity, to be able to utilize this synocrity in your own life. So Baruch Hashem, Malka, welcome to another level of growth. Are there any other questions? Thank you for that comment and that question. They're very beautiful. Tomorrow's class. No, thank you. Tomorrow's class at 1:30 will be a Tikkun Rachel. At 4:30 will be a mini Zohar. And at 7 o'clock, questions and answers. I hope to have you join us for one or all of these classes. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.